Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 21, text number 1. Chapter 21 is entitled Conversation Between Manu and Kardama. Vidura uvacha Swayambhuvasya chamanor Vangsha paramasammata Katyatam Bhagavan Yatra Maitune Naidire Praja Vidura Uvacha. Vidura said, Swayambhuvasya, of Swayambhuva, Cha, and Mano, of Manu, Vangsha, the dynasty, Parama, most, Sammata, esteemed, Katyatam, kindly describe, Bhagavan, O worshipful sage, Yatra, in which, Maitunena, through sexual intercourse. Adhire, multiplied. Praja, the progeny. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation, Vidura said, the line of Swayambhuva Manu was most esteemed. O worshipful sage, I beg you, give me an account of this race, whose progeny multiplied through sexual intercourse. Purport. Regulated sex life to generate good population is worth accepting. Actually, Vidura was not interested in hearing the history of persons who merely engaged in sex life, but he was interested in the progeny of Swayambhuva Manu, because in that dynasty, good devotee kings appeared who protected their subjects very carefully with spiritual knowledge. By hearing the history of their activities, therefore, one becomes more enlightened. An important word used in this connection is Parama Sammata, which indicates that the progeny created by Swayambhuva Manu and his sons was approved by great authorities. In other words, sex life for creating exemplary population is acceptable to all sages and authorities of Vedic scripture. Translation once again. Vidura said, the line of Swayambhuva Manu was most esteemed. O worshipful sage, I beg you, give me an account of this race whose progeny multiplied through sexual intercourse. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gina Gina Shlakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangun Langayate Girim Yat Kripam Tamaham Bande Sri Guru Dinataranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastatyade Shatarine Vanchakalpa Tubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhar Srivasari Gauravata Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the Vedic culture gives instructions on all aspects of life. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the first chapter, Arjuna is giving his arguments why he does not want to fight. And at first glance, they all seem like pretty good arguments. In texts, I think 38 through 40, he explains how when the elders in the family are killed, then the family tradition is destroyed. And when family tradition is destroyed, then degradation sets in because the Varnashram is designed in such a way that there are different rituals and performances, different activities, which are all meant for the upliftment of society. So when the family becomes degraded, the women become polluted, and the result is unwanted progeny. Srila Prabhupada says in, I think it's the purport to text 39, that unwanted progeny results in war and pestilence. So that we can understand, in the purport to text 40, Srila Prabhupada says, good population is a basic principle for peace, prosperity, and spiritual progress in life. Peace, prosperity, and spiritual progress in life. These are three very essential things for society to function. In the present day, there are so many quarrels all over the world. There's so much poverty in the world. And people have no idea what the goal of life is. So it's stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, I believe, Srimad Bhagavatam, or at least Prabhupada quotes from Shastra in the purports in Srimad Bhagavatam, Kalo Shudra Sambhava, that in the age of Kali, everyone is a Shudra at best a Shudra. Actually, in most cases, less than Shudra. Because Shudra, at least, is following the principles of Varnashram Dharma. So therefore, we have a hellish situation all over the world, practically speaking. A society where people, they're in ignorance to what the goal of life is. Therefore, there's so much exploitation going on in the world. Exploitation not only of other human beings, but the animals are being killed just to satisfy the palate, and this is creating, so Prabhupada says, the result of animal killing is war. And practically speaking, there's wars always in the world somewhere. There's a war going on, if not one, then more than one. So many conflicts, and so much suffering and quarrels within the world. A while back, it was in the news that people are so disturbed and so much in anxiety and that one man killed another man over a parking spot. So this is all a result of generations and generations of Varna Sankara. So we can understand from this and from this Prabhupada statement, Arjuna's arguments, Prabhupada's statement in the purports, how an important activity it is to create good progeny within the world. So we as devotees, Srila Prabhupada taught this, we had no idea before hearing from Srila Prabhupada, we had no idea that there was a science to creating good children. So Prabhupada recommended that we chant 50 rounds on the day of conception, the Garbhadhan Sanskara. So this is the purificatory process before conception. So as members of ISKCON, then we have this opportunity to really benefit the world by bringing good progeny into the world. We see from the history of the Vaishnav saints that many devotees come who are already very spiritually advanced. Either they're Nitya Siddha or they're coming from a very advanced position in devotional service. And they can greatly benefit the society, this ISKCON society, as well as the greater society, because they become powerful preachers. For example, there was one devotee. His name was Gangadhar Bhattacharya. And he lived during the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he and his wife, they didn't have any children, but they were not sorry because of that. They didn't really have much desire to have children. And then more or less out of the blue, so to speak, Gangadhar Bhattacharya, he developed a strong desire to have a child. He had later, he was present at the shaving up when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas and shaved off his hair. And he was so taken by that, that after seeing this, he could only chant Chaitanya, Chaitanya, Chaitanya. Therefore, he became known as Chaitanya Das. And so he after this desire to have a child manifested, he spoke to his wife, why is it that now at such an advanced age I'm desiring to have a child? And she said, well, why don't you go to Nilachala, Jagannath Puri, and take shelter of Lord Jagannath, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there, and certainly it will all be revealed to you. So as it turned out, these were the parents of Srinivasacharya. And we know from the history how Srinivasacharya did so much to spread Krishna consciousness around the world. So this is just one example. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had 13 children. And of course he had the illustrious Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who also did so much to propagate and to benefit society within the world by preaching Krishna consciousness. So here in ISKCON, now, practically we're getting into the third generation of children. So, and we see that many of these children that are taking birth in ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada said that the demigods are standing in line waiting to take birth in ISKCON. That was one statement he made. He also said our children's children, which would be the third generation, will be the first generation of pure devotees. Of course, that doesn't mean everyone who takes birth in the third generation will be a pure devotee. But some indication is there that nice children, advanced souls, will come and take birth in ISKCON. And so, therefore, it's our responsibility to engage in this procreation process very nicely, in a purified state of mind, and to try to call purified souls to take birth in our family. So in this way, it's actually a joy to raise children. Otherwise, when children are born and they have a disturbed mind and lots of material desires, it becomes a burden. It becomes a burden to raise children. And oftentimes, it seems like, anyway, it seems that the love isn't there. I know in the first generation, we made a lot of mistakes in raising our children. I remember Gurukul was not really top priority as far as putting the best people in position. I was in Miami, and I was asked to be a headmaster of a Gurukul. I was sent to Gita Nagari for 2 weeks, and that was my qualification to be headmaster. And then later on, our academic teacher was going to be transferred to the BBT, and I was given 1 day training to become an academic teacher. Not even 1 day, a few hours. So it was seen like the children are a burden and they're not really that important for our society. But this wasn't actually Srila Prabhupada's teaching. Srila Prabhupada stressed book distribution, and we maybe overreacted to that to the point where all the best people, they were put out on book distribution at the expense of raising our children. Sometimes parents, they weren't given schedules that would actually be conducive to show this love, this care, and giving time to their children. So what is the result? That the second generation is largely disgruntled. They went through abuse in Gurukul. Not everyone, but some was there. Too many, actually. So this was a big mistake, and hopefully we can learn from that mistake. And in the future, Of course, we have a lot of, especially in the Eastern European countries and different parts of the world, we have a lot of young people joining our movement, and not maybe even same age as what we would call the second generation. So it's important then that we see the importance of raising children. It's actually our service. It's a very important service. And back in the days, it was you were given the impression that children are Maya. But children are the future of society. How can we say that raising children is Maya? Children are the future of society. So it's an extremely important service to procreate nicely. And then, all right, so it's then after that, so you chant the 50 rounds and you pray for a nice child. And so maybe that desire is fulfilled. But it's not that you drop the ball there. Then you have to raise the child with love. And it's we've been reading some books by different so-called materialist or whatever, the secular gurus. So what? So they explain how the language you use with your children is extremely important. Because at a young age, if you speak wrongly to a child, they can develop some subconscious conceptions in life, which can be very harmful as they grow and mature. So it's always important to speak in positive language, to speak loving words to the children, not berate them. Correction can be there, of course. It's the duty of the parent to guide the child, but not in a way that... And children are very, very perceptive. If they perceive resentment among the parents that you're a burden, if the parent is feeling that the child is a burden, they'll pick up on that. So we actually have to be very careful about regulating the senses so that when we bring children into the world, they're not unwanted progeny, and that we can actually raise them with love. This is extremely important. So... oftentimes, I know especially in the non-devotee world, the television is like the babysitter. So this is easy way out. That just put the child in front of the TV, and what are they watching? Oh, it's just cartoons. Something innocent. Not innocent. I don't know what's on for cartoons these days, but when I was a kid, cartoons were some of the most violent things on TV. I don't know if you remember Roadrunner or Tom and Jerry or Popeye, whatever, but there was always violence going on in these type of cartoons. So we have different levels of devotee within our society, and some are thinking, okay, TV's okay, it's not such a bad thing, and others want to be real strict. But actually, because... Actually, we should respect the stricter standard. And so we have children, and they maybe go visit their friend's house, and the TV's on over there, but it's not allowed in our house. Okay? So then the child sees, and they develop some attachment, and they want also. So this is in a sense, it's like a violence. It's violence to the children to expose them to these things, because the Garbhodan Sanskara is only half the job. Maybe it's not even half. And you have a lifelong of raising, or at least till adolescence, raising the children properly. So there's also this idea that, the forbidden fruit makes them want it more. So our children may be restricted from TV, and then they know that other children are watching TV, the non-devotees, maybe some devotees, and... then because it's forbidden, they want it even more. But actually, if the child is conceived nicely, they'll have a natural inclination towards Krishna consciousness. Simply, they have to be engaged. I remember when we first came to Krishna consciousness, our day was so full with Krishna consciousness activities. We were never bored. We were always engaged in doing some Krishna conscious activity, and we were never hankering for what we left behind. The cup was full, and there was no room for anything else. I never, ever remember being bored in Krishna consciousness. So we simply have to give good, positive engagement, and then these other things will not be so prominent or so like that, so difficult to refrain from. So then the opposite side of the other side of the coin is that then we succumb to material desires and we don't follow strictly the process. Srila Prabhupada always stated that sexual engagement is for children. He couldn't say less. He is the acharya. Even though he said like that, sex is only for children, still, I mean, probably the number of grihasthas in our movement that actually follow that strictly and have or will follow their whole life, probably maybe you can count on one hand. Of course, that's there because Yanmai Tunari Griham, what is it? By Prahlad Maharaj. Yanmai Tunari Griham Eri Sukham Hi Tuchcham. This is the basic principle of material enjoyment. So the desire is very, very strong. So we may not always be able to overcome it. But in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna that you slay this enemy of lust by regulating the senses. So it's not that just we adopt the materialist mentality, if it feels good, do it. But regulate it. And then, of course, so Srila Prabhupada spoke like this, very strictly. Sadhu means to cut. So he's not going to say something just to make us feel good and to gain followers. Prabhupada wasn't like that. Since then, we've heard more liberal expressions of this principle. One guru was asked by disciple, now, if my husband approaches me and it's not for children, should I give in or should I just take a hard line? And the answer was that, well, you have to see how strong the attachment is. It's better that he remains a devotee, the family stays together. Otherwise, you have, so let's say the wife takes a hard line and eventually the man becomes frustrated, he goes away leaving a child and a single mother like that. So this is not good also. So this is something to take into consideration for those who are thinking of marriage and not yet married, and to take into consideration in the astrological chart that there is some compatibility as far as the amount of sense gratification that will be, the inclination will be. So it's very important that husband and wife are on the same page in this regard. Therefore, one is not dragging the other down. But the basic principle is to be regulated and to never give up the chanting of the holy name. So this lust, this is the basic principle of material enjoyment. And as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, avritam jnana etena jnanino nitya vairina, it's kama rupena konteya duspurena nalena cha. So this lust, it's our eternal enemy. It's our enemy, and it covers our real knowledge, the knowledge of the soul. And it burns like fire, so it can never be satisfied, and it burns like fire. So the more we engage in sense gratification, the more that's like putting fuel on the fire. So eventually, if you stop putting fuel on the fire, what happens? The fire goes out, okay? The fire is not going to go out by putting more and more fuel on it. So this is an illusion to think that I can burn out my material desires. This may happen. We have what's called boga tyag. You engage in a sense gratification, and then you've had enough. You become satiated. But actually, the desire doesn't go away. It just becomes subdued temporarily. And then you stop the sense gratification for some time, and then it comes back like that. So The best principle then is to experience a higher taste. Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehina rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishva nivartate. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, the taste for sense gratification may still remain, but you can cease such engagement by experiencing a higher taste. So really the solution then to overcoming the lust is to cultivate and get this higher taste. So how do we get this higher taste? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that there's nothing but the holy name to be had within all the 14 worlds. So talking about 14 worlds, that includes the upper planetary system where there's so much high standard of sense gratification, including sexual indulgence. But Bhaktivinoda says there's nothing but the holy name to be had. Before that, he says, Namashaya kori yatani tumi, takaha apana kaje. Take shelter of the holy name as your only business. Jatane means carefully, but in the word for word says carefully. Namashraya yatane tumi. Take shelter of the holy name very carefully. In the translation, Prabhupada says, as your only business, as our only business. So what is this concept of shelter? When we speak of shelter, okay, that means we're being afflicted by something. So we need to get some relief from that. We're being afflicted from the rains, a storm, so we take shelter in a building. We're being afflicted by heat, so we take shelter of the AC or whatever, something like that. So actually we're being afflicted by lust, by lusty desires. It's not happiness. The non-devotees, they got it backwards. They want to become more and more lusty. Therefore, they're always seeing. They want to see the objects of the senses. And then when they reach a stage of life where they can actually, where lust is no longer, by nature, is no longer so strong, and they can dedicate their life to self-realization, then they take, what is it called? They have some drug now. I don't even know what it's called. They have some drug so an old man can remain lusty. So they got it backwards. So we take shelter of the holy name. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur also gives more indication in the song Kabhi Habe Bolo Seidin Amar. Aparada Guchi Shuda Nam Ruchi. The taste for the name increases when our offenses decrease. And in the following verse to that song, Trinadika Hin Kabe Nije Mani Sahishnuta Guna Hridayete Ami Sakale Manada Apaniyamani Hoye Asvadibo Nama Rasasar. That's a paraphrase of the Trinadapi Sudichena verse. So by being very humble, tolerant, and respecting all others, this will also give us a taste for the holy name. So it's 8:30. I have to stop here. Thank you very much for your attention. Gantarad Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. I guess it's too late for questions. So, or if anyone wants to go, they can go. And otherwise, we can have one or two questions. Significantly, like 90%. Why, I can't say. That's really up to the managers. As the movement evolved, back in the days, it was more of a commune type social structure. So if you lived in the temple and Harinam was organized, everyone went out. As devotees started having children and the temple wasn't able to economically provide the facility for raising children, devotees moved out, got their own businesses, or got jobs. And therefore, their schedules were maybe not so conducive to so much Harinam. And also, I feel also, as we moved into the secular world, we also accepted television and movies more in our life. And this puts out the fire of desire for devotional service. So that has something to do with it, I think. And therefore, there wasn't so much loyam, so much eagerness. They weren't getting really the taste of the holy name. Going out on Harinam Sankirtan is such a joyful thing. I always remember it as so much happiness going out, and you see how the non-devotees appreciate. And even you see some demon comes along, and you understand the power of the holy name. People are not indifferent. Some are indifferent, some become very happy, and some become angry. But I think it's something, my personal opinion is, we should try to revamp that old spirit. And it will be very good for Krishna consciousness and for our preaching. This is the main preaching. Sankirtan Yajna, this is the process. We put a lot of emphasis on japa, but 11th canto Srimad Bhagavatam says Sankirtan, chanting together. Yajnai Sankirtana Rayaya. Doesn't say japa. Japa is the process. Sankirtan is the process. Chanting together.